Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today, we are very fortunate to have His Grace Gokuleshwar Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of 4th Srimad Bhagavatam class, 4th Canto, 28th chapter, 83rd verse onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for giving your valuable time and enlightening us.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So we'll do small Radha Madhav and then have a class. Thank you for inviting me and thank you all the devotees to join. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava
Kunja Bihari
श्री श्री राधा माधव की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 29, Talks Between Narad and King Prachin Bardi, Verse Number 83, 4.29.83. एतत् अध्यात्म पारुक्ष्यम् गीतं देवर्षि नानग्र यः श्रवयेद् यः श्रुणयात् स लिंगेन विमुच्यते. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Vidura, one who hears this narration concerning the understanding of the living entity's spiritual existence as described by the great sage Narada, or who relates it to others, will be liberated from the bodily conception of life. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This material creation is the spirit soul's dream. Actually, all existence in the material world is a dream of Mahavishnu. As the Brahma Samhita describes, Ya Karanar Nava Jale Bhajati Smayoga, Nidram Ananta Jagadanda Saroma Kupa. This material world is created by the dreaming of Mahavishnu. The real factual platform is the spiritual world. But when the spirit soul wants to imitate the supreme personality of Godhead, he is put into this dreamland of material creation. After being in contact with the material modes of nature, the living entity develops the subtle and gross bodies. When the living entity is fortunate enough to associate with Sri Narad Mahamuni or his servants, he is liberated from this dreamland of material creation and the bodily conception of life. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Verse Number 83, Translation. My dear Vidura, one who hears this narration concerning the understanding of the living entity's spiritual existence, as described by the great sage Narada, or who relates it to others, will be liberated from the bodily conception of life. Hare Krishna. So we are at the end of the section of Srimad Bhagavatam where Srila Narad Muni has been preaching to King Prachin Bharishat. King Bharishat is engaged in Karma Kanda, performing lots of sacrifices and killing innocent animals. So out of compassion, Narad Muni comes to explain to him that the goal of life is not to do Karma Kanda activities, to go to heavenly planets, which is so nicely described in the Vedas. But the goal of life is to come out of the cycle of birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead. And eternal devotional service at the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna. So to explain to King Bharishat, Narad Muni explains the story of Puranjan, which is an allegory story explaining him that how the living entity keeps changing the body. And now Sri Maitreya Rishi, who is explaining the story to Vidura, is giving a benediction through this verse to all the devotees who are hearing this pastime and all the preachers who are speaking this pastime, that any person who hears or relates or speaks the story of Puranjan as described by Narad Muni to Bharishat, he will get liberated from the bodily concept of life. So one thing is the result of the knowledge, and other thing is a result of performing devotional service. So the result of the knowledge mentioned in the Puranjan story is that he will come out of the bodily concept of life. At the same time, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is also devotional service. It's not the knowledge aspect of Bhagavatam. Just hearing Bhagavatam is devotional service. And that also gives one liberation. We see in the pastime of Gajendra, also there is the phala of the katha, phala stuti, stuti phala, the fruit of hearing the katha or hearing the stuti, the prayers of Gajendra, that Sukadeva Goswami mentions that one who every day in the morning hears the pastimes of Gajendra, how Lord Vishnu protected king of elephant Gajendra, he gets eternal residence in the spiritual world. And even in Dhruva Maharaj Katha, the stuti at the end, phala of stuti is given, that one who hears the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj in disciplic succession, he will get his desires fulfilled, he will get wealth, he will get kingdom, he will get liberation, he will get eternal residence in Dhruva Loka, and he'll go back to the spiritual world. So the phala, the fruit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, is multiple times described. We are not looking for some material fruit. We are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam because Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing is devotional service. And when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu, the heart gets purified. And in purified heart, when we keep hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we develop love for Krishna. So each one of us, the individual soul, is part and parcel of Krishna. Ansha, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Just as the drop of ocean water is part and parcel of the ocean, so we are part and parcel of Krishna. And whatever chemical composition is of the ocean, the drop also will have same hydrogen, oxygen and minerals. So whatever qualities Krishna has, each individual soul also has. Krishna is Vipu. He has these qualities 100%. We are Anu, minute. Vibhu means huge. We are Anu means minute, tiny, teeny. So we have the same qualities which Krishna has in small proportion, in small percentage. Whatever qualities we see in this material world, we should know those qualities come from Krishna. If Krishna does not have a quality, how will we have it? And if we have it and Krishna does not have it, then from where did it come? It has to come from Krishna. Because Janmadi Asayataha, Krishna is one from whom everything emanates. Everybody takes birth from Krishna. So if we see some beauty, say a beautiful girl or a beautiful boy or a beautiful waterfall or sunrise or sunset or beach or fruit or flower, we should know from where that beauty is coming. That beauty is coming from Krishna. He is 100% beautiful. Shyam Sundar. So beautiful, Bhuvana Sundar, beauty of the three worlds. All the Brajavasis would get attracted to Krishna. The gopis would get attracted to Krishna. The apsaras, the demigods would get attracted to Krishna. With beautiful lotus petal-like eyes going till his ears, and with bow-like eyebrows and moon-like face and curly black hairs and reddish lips and mirror-like cheeks and raised nose, and broad chest and thin waist with a peacock feather and a yellow dhoti, wearing a Vaijanti mala and tribhanga, three place curves, so beautiful Shyam Sundar. So he is the origin of all beauty. So if you see somebody strong, having bodily strength, can lift 10 kilos, 50 kilos, 100 kilos, from where is that strength coming? That strength is coming from Krishna. Krishna is the original person, originally strong person, 100% strength. At age 7, he lifted Govardhan Hill on the small finger of his left hand for 7 days and night. So that is strength. This is somebody intelligent and knowledgeable, then that intelligence is coming from Krishna. He is most intelligent person. Is most knowledgeable person. Is somebody wealthy, then that wealth is coming from Krishna. Krishna is the original Narayan, is the husband of Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of wealth. He has 16,108 palaces, and each palace he had Lakshmi as his queen. Rukmini Devi, Satyabhama, Jamvanti, Lakshmana, Mitravinda, Kalindi, Bhadra, Rohini, like the 16,108 beautiful queens. Each palace made of gold and diamonds and pearls and rubies and emeralds and sapphires and crystals and corals and lapis lazulis. And in each palace having thousands and thousands of beautiful maidservants, and the maidservants were wearing gold, golden ornaments and silken cloths. So that's the origin of all wealth in Krishna. If somebody is kind and merciful, then that kindness, that daya is coming from Krishna, who is most merciful. Somebody is honest, somebody is truthful, then we should know that honesty is coming from Krishna, most honest and truthful person. If somebody is thief, then we should know that stealing is coming from Krishna, is makan chor. Butter thief, the original butter thief number one. The gopis would come and complain to Yashoda, your son is chor. Makhan chor, he steals butter. But the difference is, if we steal, we go in jail. When Krishna steals, devotees worship him. You know, as a small baby, the first time Krishna stole makhan was in his own house. He went to the storeroom and he saw a butter pot and he put his hand inside and took out butter to eat. And at that time, in the nearby pillar had diamonds. He saw his own reflection in the pillar, in the diamond. And the baby Krishna got afraid that some other boy is standing there. So that clever Krishna, he went to the pillar and told the reflection, look, my dear Sakha, don't tell my name to mother. Don't tell my name to Yashoda Maya. You also eat makhan. And he offered makhan to the pillar, thinking that some boy is watching him. At that time, Yashoda Maya saw this pastime. And she started laughing and came inside the door. And Krishna got more afraid that Yashoda Maya saw him taking makhan from the pot. So Maya said, Lala, Krishna, what are you doing? And Krishna immediately went and jumped on the lap of Maya and said, Maya, Maya, you know that boy? That boy took your makhan. Look, I took it back. So clever. And Yashoda Maya started laughing and smiling. Who will not love this clever boy? That's Yashoda Maya's darling. She's the original thief, but he is worshipped as makhan chor. This whole month of Kartik, we are worshipping Damodar, who stole makhan, who was so naughty that his mother, Yashoda Maya, who loves him so much, tied him with rope. But we are worshipping him. We are worshipping Chor. So all qualities come from Krishna. So one of the quality of Krishna is Swaraj. Swaraj means fully independent. Full freedom. Whatever he wants, he can do. Nobody can ask him, why are you doing it? He's fully independent to do. He wears peacock feather. You can't ask him, why are you wearing peacock feather? Why not pigeon feather? Or he often wears yellow dhoti. You can't ask him, why yellow dhoti? Why not pink dhoti? And he comes in Vrindavan, Uttar Pradesh. We can't ask him, why here? Why not in Madhya Pradesh? Or why not in America or New Zealand or London? He'll say, my marzi, meri marzi. It's my sweet wish, wherever I come, whatever I wear. He's fully independent. So being part and parcel of Krishna, we also have a minute, tiny independence. We have minute freedom. That makes us different from the stone. Why has Krishna given us minute freedom? To love him. Krishna has given us freedom to love him. If we didn't have freedom, if we are stones, then how can we love? Love requires choice. Love requires freedom. I can't take a gun and say, love me. Nobody can love me on gunpoint. Love requires within heart, own realization, own not realization, own choice, own freedom. Love cannot be forced. Love has to be chosen. Otherwise, why this preaching required? Why these classes? Why this Mangalati? We can just take a gun or Krishna can come with a Sudarshan Chakra and make us all pure devotees. Krishna Prem. Love is by choice. So Krishna has given us freedom to choose to love him or not. So those who love him, they are devotees cooperating with him in spiritual world. Those who choose not to love him, to enjoy separate from him, they are in the material world. Misuse of freedom makes us fall down to the material world. Just like in the house, when the mother is cooking in the kitchen, then some girl, mother's daughter, 7-year-old daughter, see mother cooking and she may develop desire to cook. So she says, mother, mother, I will also cook. Mother says, look, my dear gudiya, my dear daughter, you are small girl, you cannot cook. So you play. Say, no, no, she is jiddi. She is stubborn. No, no, mother, I will cook. Mother says, look, you cannot cook. If you cook, either food will get burned or you will get burned. Both is lost for me. So you just play. But she is insisting, very stubborn girl, I want to cook. So what will mother do? Will she allow the girl to cook? No. Mother will go to the market and purchase a toy kitchen. Small gas, small bowl, small spoon, and give to the daughter. Go, make your food in this kitchen. And the daughter will be happy. I got new kitchen, small gas, small bartan, small everything. And she will make her cooking. 2-3 hours, nothing will happen. And she will be hungry. So daughter will go to mother. Say, mother, my cooking didn't happen. My khichdi didn't happen. Mother will say, no problem. Yeah, come, my khichdi is done. I will feed you. I'll feed you a nice feast, puri halwa. So same thing happens with the jiva, a conditioned soul who falls in the material world. He sees Krishna performing Rasleela, lifting Govardhan Hill and marrying 16,108 queens. He says, Krishna, I will also do. Krishna says, no, I am Vibhu, I can do. You are Anu, small, you cannot do. But the jiva, the soul, insists, no, no, Krishna, I will also do. Krishna says, look, you can't do, you are a small boy. No, no, I will do. He says, look, one also is difficult. You are talking about 16,000. It's not possible for you. Even one queen is difficult. One wife is difficult. But he is insisting, so what will Krishna do? He makes a small khilona, one toy kitchen, one toy world, this material world. Take this earth planet, go and make your khichdi. And we all are making our khichdi. Anybody's khichdi done? Nobody's khichdi done. So now we have to cry. My dear Lord, my khichdi not done. Krishna has come on my lap. My khichdi is done. I'll feed you puri halwa. So that's how we come to the material world, by misuse of our free will, by misuse of our freedom to enjoy separately from Krishna. By nature, the soul is Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means eternal. Chit means full of knowledge. Ananda, full of happiness, blissful. So by nature, we are blissful. And we want enjoyment, no problem. And we get enjoyment by serving Krishna. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna. We can't get separate enjoyment. Just like our body, ears, nose, eyes, hands, legs, they all require nourishment. They all require strength. They all require energy. And they get it when the food is put into the stomach. If the hands, legs, eyes, ears revolt, he said, why we are feeding the stomach all day? We are working hard. The hands will say, I am working. The legs will say, I am taking the weight. The eyes will say, I see the food. And the stomach is enjoying. Stomach is not doing any work. From today, we will not feed the stomach. We will enjoy separately. And you put dal in the eyes, and you put vegetable in the ears, and you put rice in the nose, and you offer roti to the legs and pakora to the hand. Would they get nourishment? No, they will go unhealthy. But if you feed roti, sabji, dal, rice, pakoda, dahi, fruit in the stomach, the whole body will get nourishment because the whole body, the parts of the body, they are parts of the all the various organs are parts of the body. So in the same way, Krishna is the stomach and each one of us is part and parcel of Krishna. If I feed the stomach, if the stomach enjoys, then being part and parcel, I will automatically get enjoyment. But this foolish conditioned soul thinks that why should I feed stomach? Why should I feed Krishna? I will separately enjoy, and that's why he comes in this material creation under the three modes of material nature and rots in the cycle of birth and death in various species, sometimes human, sometimes male, sometimes female, sometimes dog, sometimes cat, sometimes donkey, sometimes lion, bird or fish or insect or tree or snake. Or this coronavirus, everybody is trying to make their khichdi, doing donkey work, shrama eva hi kevalam. So this is called the life of conditioned soul. Conditioned with the three modes of material nature. And when the soul comes here, this material world is matter and the soul is spiritual and matter do not interact. So in order for the soul to fulfill its desire, the soul gets body, gross body and subtle body, 24 elements. The gross body which we see having five senses, eyes, ear, nose, tongue, skin, and the subtle body made of mind, intelligence and palsy. And with this gross and subtle body, the soul tries to enjoy with the senses coming in contact with sense objects. But every time we do that, karma bandhan, we get entangled more and more in the cycle of birth and death. So the soul comes in the body and thinks, I am this body, I am boy, I am girl, I am husband, I am wife, I am Indian, I am American, I am Australian, I am engineer, I am doctor, I am lawyer, I am mother, I am father, I am brahmachari, I am grihast, I am sannyasi, or I am manager. All these designations, third class mentality, all these designations, bodily concept of life, because of which we try to do sense enjoyment. Because I think I am a boy, I will have a list of desires, list of sense objects. A boy means I want football, I want bike, I want car, I want shoes, I want jeans, I want t-shirt. I think I am a girl, same soul. I think I am a girl. A second list of sense object is made in the mind. A girl wants frock or sari or makeup or bangles or ornaments or purse, sandals. I think I am a pig. So he wants some female pig and he wants some fresh wet stool so that he can have feast. I think I am a goat. So he wants some fresh grass, a nice field. Or I think I am a lion. So you want some meat. So everybody has their false identity that I am so and so. And based on that false identity, there is a list of desires. Whole life we are busy fulfilling that desires and trying to get those sense objects. And as soon as we come in contact with the sense object, so nice. The boy gets a bike, so nice. The girl gets a bangle, so nice. The child gets ice cream, so nice. But what is this so nice? It's imaginary happiness. It's actually an entanglement. Get further entangled. To get relief from distress, we do sense enjoyment and we get further entangled because there is no actual happiness in this world. It is only contact. Just like I eat rasgulla and I feel happy. From where does happiness come? Is it part of rasgulla? No, rasgulla contains sugar, it contains milk, it contains elaichi. It doesn't contain happiness. Don't know, nobody who cooks rasgulla, they put happiness in rasgulla. It's not part of the ingredient. But when it touches my tongue, I feel happy. So from where that happiness comes? It's imaginary. Because in the mind, there is a desire to eat rasgulla. So because the desire is fulfilled, I feel happy. Just like in football, somebody kicks a ball in the net And if he kicks the ball and it goes inside the net, he is happy. If it goes 2 centimeters outside the net, he is not happy. Why? What is the great deal and who gets benefit in the world by kicking a ball in a particular location? But there's imaginary happiness because they have made a desire. The desire is if I kick the ball, it should go within this net. If it goes 1 centimeter away, I am not happy. Or I make a bigger net, I will be more happy. Or all these 22 players in a football stadium, or I purchase 22 balls and give one to everybody, go home, play alone. No, one ball, 22 people will start kicking. So it's all imaginary happiness, but actually it gives karma bandhan, it gives entanglement. The jiva forgets that. Just like there was a mouse, rat, in a big field, summer time, afternoon time, field was empty, all mud was there, and because of summer season, sun was rising, sun was so heavy, the mud has become very hot and the mouse was feeling that burning pain. So the mouse cannot sit, cannot sleep, cannot lie down, cannot stand, cannot walk. So the mouse was going round and round in the field, very hot sand, feeling very big heat, no relief, trying to find some relief, but cannot stop because it's very burning. So mouse was going round and round and round, and finally it came to one place. It was very cool, shade, mouse felt very nice, thanda thanda, cool, cool. What was that running? It came to the shadow of a cobra. Running, the mouse came at the shadow of a cobra. Wow, so nice. And next shot, the cobra ate the mouse. So in the same way, because of cycle of birth and death and then disease and old age, birth, death, disease, old age, birth, death, disease, old age, birth, death, disease, old age. We are going round in various species, in aquatics and plants and insects and birds and animals and reptiles and human and demigod, round cycle of birth and death. And every time we come in contact with a sense object, very nice. But what is Maya doing? Maya is catching us in further entanglement, further karma bandhan. So this creation is made to fulfill our enjoyment, to punish us because we have not cooperated with Krishna. But we should also know creation is made because Krishna loves us. Krishna has given us nice sunshine, nice monsoon, winter, summer, nice fruits, mango, chiku, apple, nice flowers, nice food. Because he loves us, that's why he's in our heart. And creation is also made for a very important reason, and that is Krishna wants our love. Being part and parcel of Krishna, we have an eternal loving relationship with Krishna. Krishna loves us and we are supposed to love him. That's Krishna prem. But we have forgotten our loving relationship with Krishna. So this love has to be revived. So Krishna has made this creation so that we love him. So everything in this creation belongs to Krishna. Vasudevam Sarvamiti. He is cause of all causes. He is all pervading. And if we use everything in the service of Krishna, offer him with love, then our presence in this creation is successful. So Krishna wants our love. So he has given us everything so that we love him. Just like a father, if he takes a box of chocolates, purchases, and brings to the house, and he gives to his small son, the son is very happy. He opens the box, there are 20 chocolates. He takes the first chocolate, he says, Papa, father, the first chocolate you take. How the father will be so happy? Why the father is happy? Because he got chocolate? Father can go and purchase 10 boxes. Not a big deal. But the father will be happy because the first chocolate means love. And father will be so happy. Next day again he'll bring one more box. Now he knows if I bring one more box, I'll get the first one, which is love of my son. In the same way, Krishna gives us. And when we offer him first, if you cook anything, sweet rice, the first bowl should go to Krishna. If you cook meal, roti, sabji, dal, rice, it should go to Krishna. If you cook samosa, or if you cook pizza, the first one go to Krishna. If you purchase fruits or milk, the first glass or the first fruit should go to Krishna. And Krishna will be so happy. Why? Because he got fruit or milk? No, he has enough in Golok Vrindavan. who cooks for Krishna in Golok Vrindavan? Srimati Radharani. Since when? Time eternal, thousand crores of years. And up till now, she has not repeated a single dish. No repeat recipe. Every day different taste. So why will Krishna come down and eat in our house, but still he eats? Why? Because the first is offered to him, and that is love. And he's so happy, he gives us more and more and more. So this creation is made so that we offer our love to Krishna, we express our love to Krishna. So this Puranjan story teaches us that we are part and parcel of Krishna. We are entangled in the cycle of birth and death. Our relationship is with Krishna, but we have forgotten it. He is in our heart, and we have to revive that relationship. And the only way to revive is to come in contact with a sadhu like Narad Muni or his disciplic succession. Like King Barishat, when we come in contact with Narad Muni, when we come in contact with the sadhu, Pari Prashnena Sevaya, he speaks about Krishna. And by seeing him serving Krishna, we get inspired. And when we start serving Krishna under the guidance of such a sadhu, then our doors of liberation is open. We have example of Mrighari. Mrighari was a violent hunter. He would kill animals half and enjoy seeing them in pain. And this Mrighari met Narad Muni, and Narad Muni told him to break his bow and arrow and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare in front of Tulsi Maharani. And he became such a non-violent sadhu that next year when Narad Muni came to visit him, Mrighari wanted to offer obeisances, but he saw ants and he didn't want to hurt any ants. So he didn't immediately offer obeisances. He removed all the ants very softly and then offered obeisances. Durva Maharaj, 5-year-old boy, he left house and he met Narad Muni, who initiated him and instructed him. And then he saw Vishnu face to face. Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb of his mother Kayadu. And all the demigods thought this Prahlad, who is in the womb of his mother, is going to be next big demon because he's son of Hiranyakashipu, who is a headache for us. But when Narad Muni used to give Srimad Bhagavatam classes in his ashram where Kayadu was staying, pregnant Kayadu, she would sometimes sleep in the class, but by Narad Muni's mercy, the child in the womb heard the class. And when he came out, he was great, pure devotee Prahlad Maharaj. In Vrindavan, the wives of the Brahmanas, they heard about Krishna from the flower sellers and betel nut sellers, and they became pure devotees. They left everything just to offer food to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, and the hippies, they didn't know anything about Krishna, but they came in contact with a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, who sat under a tree and chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in New York. And they became great sannyasis and pure devotees. And this whole ISKCON society is running. So when a fortunate jiva comes in contact with the person in disciplic succession of Narad Muni, in contact with the pure sadhu, then he understands that I am not this body. I am not a boy. I am not a girl. I am not a mother, I am not a father, I am not a husband, I am not a wife, I am not Indian, I am not American, I am not engineer, I am not manager, I am not lawyer, I am not brahmachari, I am not grahastha, I am not sannyasi, I am not brahmana, I am not kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, temple president, GBC, guru. No, I am servant of Krishna. And he convinced that if I serve Krishna, I don't have to do anything else in life. Automatically everything done, all perfection achieved, all needs taken care, all desires fulfilled, all success, everything happens just by serving Krishna. If I feed the stomach, everything done, all the body will get its strength and blood and nutrients. Like a tree, it has many leaves and the leaves require water. So what to do? Take a jug of water and a spoon and climb the tree, and every leaf you put one spoon water. Will that do? No, just pour the whole bucket of water in the root of the tree. All leaves will get nourished. You don't have to separately serve each leaf. In the same way, if I serve Krishna, I don't have to do anything else. Everything else is taken care of because I am part and parcel of Krishna. Only by serving Krishna, I will get protection. I will get all my desires fulfilled. I'll get pure devotional service because my duty is to serve Krishna. I have a natural relationship with Krishna. I don't have any natural relationship with any other personality in this creation, neither Brahma, Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, or any political leader or rich person or my family. No, it is all bodily relationship. Just like a small baby is crying. You put in any woman's lap, the baby doesn't cry. But you put the baby in his mother's lap, the baby identifies, yeah, this is my mother's lap, and baby stops crying. It feels peaceful and protected. So how does the baby know? Because there's a natural relationship in this example. If you put the baby in Miss India's lap or a very rich lady's lap, Queen of England's lap, or somebody wearing silk sari's lap, no, it will not have any effect. If the baby is in own mother lap, then only it will have effect. In the same way, Krishna is our own. We have a relationship with Krishna. So when we chant Hare Krishna, when we take darshan of Krishna, when we hear about Krishna, when we serve Krishna, then only our success, our life is successful. Otherwise, it's donkey's work. Shrama evai kevalam, there is no use of this. So this verse is telling us, is inspiring us that we should get liberated from this bodily conception of life. We should give up this I am this body business, and we should know I am servant of Krishna. And this understanding in the heart happens only by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of a pure devotee and by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we chant, we should hear. Only by hearing this is possible. We chant and hear Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The holy name comes out of my mouth, goes into the holes of my ears. From the ears, the holy name goes into my heart. And when the holy name goes into my heart, the soul in the region of the heart is awakened that, yes, I am servant of Krishna. Yes, I am part and parcel of Krishna. This is called self-realization, Atma Sakshatkar. This is the holy name. The soul can be awakened only by the holy vibration, holy name, holy form, holy pastime, holy quality, Srimad Bhagavatam. Only by the sound vibration, only by holy sound, transcendental sound vibration, the holy name can be awakened. Not by tapasya, not by fasting, not by meditation, not by yajna, not by jnana, not by puja, not by so-called moral values. Holy name cannot, the soul cannot be awakened by all this nonsense. The holy name can only be, the soul can only be awakened by the holy name, by the transcendental sound vibration. So we should be very, very careful. And this month of Kartik, we have lots of benefit. By doing our bhakti, we get thousands of more times result. So daily we chant minimum 16 rounds. We chant more, we hear more, and we offer nice ghee diya to the Lord, Deepdan, and sing Damodar Ashtakam. And Lord Damodar will bless us with his pure devotional service, which is the perfection of our life. If we don't do that, then next life again we'll be dog or cat or mouse or tiger or donkey or tree. What is the use? Any intelligent person should understand. Now I have this opportunity. This human form of life is a very rare opportunity. And in this human form of life, one great benefit is that very little effort you put, you can see Bhagavan Krishna, Shyam Sundar, face to face. Wow, so nice. Face to face, we can see Krishna just by little effort, just next few years of our life. Every day do Mangalati, chant 16 rounds, Guru Puja, year class, four regulative principles. After a few years, you will see Krishna face to face. This is not available in any other form. So any intelligent person should understand, I got this human form of life, such a nice opportunity. I should seriously practice sadhana bhakti so that I see Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. No more birth. We should be determined. So Srila Prabhupada has created such a wonderful society, ISKCON, where in association of devotees, we can easily practice bhakti. So we should be very serious in our sadhana. Okay, we will end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, if there are any questions, those who are on Zoom, they can ask. Those who are on Facebook, they can type. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very so much for sharing your wonderful realizations with us this morning. And it was nicely said about the human form relationship with our Krishna. Thank you very so much, Prabhuji. Devotees, please go ahead and check your questions with Prabhuji if you have any questions.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Bhagavad Pranam. A very, very beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. It was very nice, Prabhu. All the examples that you have given, how the child, you know, gives the first thing to Krishna, that is, to the father. So that's allowed that we show it to Krishna, that whatever we are offering to Krishna is the first thing, because it doesn't mean that father does not have anything or Krishna does not have anything. They have everything, but the love is important. Thank you so much for each and every example that you have given, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank
and
you,
it was very easy to understand. The class was so simple. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, Krishna is very simple.
So true, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Krishna is simple. But we are, I mean, I myself, I am complex to understand Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Krishna is simple, coward boy in simple village with simple heart. Only his body is little curved. Rest all is very simple.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class. Prabhu, I have one question, Prabhu. From a doer perspective, so sometimes it is said, emphasized that material modes of nature are the doer and super soul is the permitter. Soul, super soul, material nature and like few other things are the doer, right, Prabhu? Like in the 18th chapter, Lord says that five doers.
Your voice broke, Prabhu.
Okay. Yeah, can you hear me, Prabhu, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in few verses of Gita, we see the modes of material nature are the doer.
Yes.
But the soul is desiring and slowly it is building, right? So then the modes of material nature become the doer.
Yes.
Sometimes why it is mentioned exclusively that modes of material nature are doer, Prabhu?
Because the soul is so much under the modes that by the influence of the modes, the soul is performing action. For example, at night you will sleep. So actually mode of ignorance is the one which is influencing me to sleep at night. In the afternoon, I will work hard. Actually, it's mode of passion which is influencing me to do something in the afternoon. And after I wake up early morning, I feel very nice and fresh and would want to meditate or chant. So actually, it's more of goodness, which is giving me that satisfaction of life that I want to serve Krishna. So when I suddenly become angry, it's more of ignorance, which is taking over my eyes and my tongue, and I speak in high volume or abusive words. You are with me? So the modes are influencing so much that I am acting because of that influence. So one of the doer is the modes. There are five doers, five causes of action. So modes is one of them. Soul is there, super soul is there, time is there, and circumstances, karma gives the circumstances. So that is there. So the bird will fly And I also want to fly, but I don't have wings. So my karma doesn't allow me to fly. So karma is also involved. So all these are involved to make action happen. But the responsibility lies with the soul because it desires. So this whole world is conducted by the three modes of material nature. Are you good?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, yes. So now, yes, Prabhu, that part is clear. So we are saying the soul desired. Can we blame everything on the soul?
Yeah, whom you want to blame? Your neighbor?
No, Prabhu. We say, like, you know, we can't say the soul is impure, right? Like, we always say the soul is pure. I'm trying to understand from that perspective, Prabhu. We always say the soul is
pure. The soul is pure, but now it's under the influence. Now it is under the influence of three modes. So it desires these things. Like the air is pure, but under the influence of all the pollution, smoke from the traffic and the factories, now that air is causing us respiratory diseases when we breathe. So the soul is pure, but because of the contamination, the false ego, the soul desires, the mind takes over the soul, so the mind desires all this nonsense.
Yes, yes.
But because the soul has an original desire to enjoy, the soul is responsible for it. For example, if I first time come to America, I have dollars in my pocket, but I don't know what to see and where to go. So I'll hire a tourist guide. And the tourist guide will say, look, come to New York, eat in this restaurant and have this hotel. And I'll follow the tourist guide because I have dollars. But whatever I am doing by said by the tourist guide. So the tourist guide is making me fulfill certain actions and supplying me desires and objects. But the original desire is mine, that I want to see America. In the same way, when the first time soul comes in the material world, he wants a tourist guide. So he accepts mind as the guide. And the mind says, in human body, eat samosa, you will be happy. Drink tea, you will be happy. Smoke cigarette, you will be happy. In tiger body, the mind says, eat goat, you will be happy. In cow body, the mind says, eat grass, you will be happy. In monkey body, the mind says, jump from one tree to another tree, you will be happy. And the soul keeps doing it. So the original desire is the soul to enjoy in the material world. Now mind has taken over as a tourist guide. And the mind is taking us around till we have dollars, till we have karma. So we have to stop taking the guidance of this stupid mind. And you take guidance of intelligence, which is representative of the super soul. And this intelligence should be guided by Guru Sadhu Shastra, from the scriptures, from the Guru Maharaj, from the spiritual master, and from the devotees. Then we will go back home, back to Godhead. So the soul is contaminated, the consciousness of the soul is contaminated by the influence of three modes of material nature. So even though the soul is pure, but the mind has taken over.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Any more questions?
Anybody have any questions or the comments for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Yeah.
Very beautiful class, Prabhuji. You said the essence of Krishna consciousness. The entire class was full of, just the essence of Krishna consciousness. If we learn that, that is enough. We don't need to do more than that. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for coming on the call and giving your valuable time and association. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting Mataji. Hare Krishna. Okay, we will end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much once again, Prabhuji, for very enlightening class today. And we are very, very grateful to you. And we look forward for your association again and again in the future, Prabhuji. If nobody have any questions, we can end the call here. Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Rana Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, His Great Gokuleshwar Prabhuji Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Danvat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class. Hare Krishna.